like mine, it's okay. That's mine. So, but thankful for the opportunity to preach. I like it when we get to preach in here. It's a little bit different pace. This year I'm teaching the first through sixth grade elementary for Bible class, and then I have the teenagers. Not much difference. I have them in theme class, and it's always good to preach to adults. It's always fun. It's challenging. It's encouraging. It's thought-provoking. What Lord wants you to preach to people that you know have been around. They see everything you do. And I had a parent tell me tonight, we have in high school, we have a speech class, and this past week or so, we've been doing devotion, and I was judging them, critiquing them some, giving some ideas, and one of the parents said, you know, you're going to get judged tonight or critiqued, and I said, that's all right, I hope so, keep me accountable, but I enjoy preaching, and last time preach was gone, I preached on Sunday morning, and that was the first time I've ever done that, and I was a little nervous, never scared. I was thinking that today in about that in chapel about, am I scared to preach? No, I'm not scared. I'm a little nervous. I'm not scared. I got the power of God to work within me. I have His Word to stand on. I'm not preaching heresy, so I don't have to be scared. I can be a little nervous. But I know I preached on Sunday morning. I'm like, man, preacher kicked me all the way to Wednesday night. I went from Sunday morning. Sometimes I preach Sunday night, and he kicked me all the way to Wednesday. I said, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And someone said, hey, some of the best preachers preach last. They preach cleanup. So I guess I'm here to clean up Grand Slam, I guess. Hopefully we won't mess it up. But I like to tell jokes. I'm not the best joke teller, but I have a little joke story to tell you, kind of get, it'll kind of go along with the message tonight. But there was a new store that was put together in New York. Now, New York has a lot of crazy things. A lot of those big cities, they're different. They have different stores. And I tend to stay away from big cities. I don't mind visiting there. I don't mind being around. I don't mind towns in general. I can go big or small, but those big cities, I'm just not too keen on staying there. I'll visit for a day or two. I was there. I won't have to go back. My dad drives truck. He always talks about how he hates to go in those big cities and drive the big 18-wheeler around. So I don't want to go there. It's not good. You don't want to live there. But they have some different things. I heard of a store that they have in there, and it's called the Husband Store. And they're telling them that there's six different floors in this store, and there's some guidelines and rules. And the rule is you can go and visit each store, but as you go up, if you decide to go to another level, you can't go back and revisit. Once you make a decision to change, you have to go with the decision and keep going. So a lady decides, you know what? I'm visiting New York, and I heard about this store. I want to check this out, see what this whole Husband Store is. So she walks in there, and she gets to the first floor, and it says, these men have jobs. Now, that's really good. In today's society, it's really good that a man has a job. It's kind of hard to find some men that want to work. They want to work hard and provide for their family. That's really good. But you know what? There's six floors. This is floor one. Maybe then the second floor won't be so bad. She goes to the second one, and there's a sign that says, these men have jobs, and they love kids. Well, that's a really good thing. They work a job, and they actually want to come home to their wife. They want to come home to their kids. There's some that, you know, they don't really care about their kids. They just want to work. They come back. They play their video games, and they watch TV. They want to play with their kids, and they want to hang out with their kids. And they want to, you know, that may be good. That's good. They love their, they have jobs. They love their kids. But they said there's another floor, and I'm wondering if that one had one. Maybe there'll be another one on the next floor. It'd be even better. So she goes to the third floor. She gets there, and there's a sign there. It reads, these men have jobs, love kids, and are very good looking. And she goes, now, that's even better, okay? It's one thing to get a guy that can work, they can have kids, but if they're ugly, that's really not that good. But if they're good looking, that's really good. Now, some of the guys over here, they wouldn't be on that level. They'd be on the first one about jobs, all right? Someone said, hallelujah, amen. There you go. She goes, now wait. I'm starting to catch a trend. It's starting to get better and better as I go up and as I go up. Now, this is the third floor. I wonder what that fourth floor is like. She said, she gets up there, the sign says that these men have jobs, love kids, good looking, and they help do things around the house. They do chores. Man, that is, now you're finding some guys that are a different level. Now things are getting, man, this is getting good. They love kids, they're good looking, they do work. And I need to go check this out. Because I don't know if I couldn't help myself. If I was to walk off on the fifth floor and not know, or the fourth floor and not know what fifth and sixth was, I'd hurt myself. So she goes to the fifth floor. And the fifth floor, I'll turn over here, says these men have jobs, love kids, good looking, help run the house, and are romantic. Now, it's not very often you get guys that are romantic. Now, when I was in college, I was a little romantic, sometimes overboard. I remember when I asked my wife to, actually I told her I loved her, I sent her on a wild goose chase, and I lit a, you have to understand our college is in an older facility, and so on the corners were benches, and there were some bushes around, and so I had my buddies light me a path with candles, and I had some flower petals there and a note, and she saw it, and she's like, I am not ready to get married. And that's not even the case, but that was just, I got to one up it, so I the next thing to get engaged, we had a castle down the road, and it opened back up, so I took her to a castle, and we got engaged on the top of the castle with the sun going down. Now, that's romantic, I have to confess. I haven't been near as romantic as I should be as a husband. It's hard to find husbands that are just romantic. They love to do things like that. So, oh, my goodness. This, now, let me just say that right there, you might as well just stop. She said, but I got to know what's on 4-6. I mean, this is really good. But this is so good, there's got to be one even better than this. She gets to the 6th floor, and there's a letter there as well, and said, you have reached the 6th floor. You have visited 31,457,012. To this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely to prove that women are hard to please. And so, you'll understand a little bit that as we get into the message, but Matthew chapter 5, and let me just say to start off with, this is not some really bombastic sermon, and I've heard as I've gotten older, as I've gotten in the ministry, early people in ministry say they wish they've learned this when they're younger. There's some things they wish as they're 35, 40, 50, 60, and I know this truth, and I understand it, and it's not always easier preaching than it is easier living. And I think we, even once I mentioned it, you may say, oh, yeah, I remember that, but is that really what we're thinking? So Matthew chapter 5, we're actually going to read verse 1 all the way through verse 11. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. And I just want to take this evening a little bit different approach. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to turn to different passages. But the sermon title is, Are You Spiritually Happy? Or How Happy Are You? Are you spiritually happy? And let's pray. Lord, thanks for the day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we had to be in church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a haven of rest, or in a time of weariness. Lord, thank you that we can come together as Christians and fellowship and gather around your word. And I pray, Lord, the truth tonight would be a blessing, Lord, to each and every one of us. Lord, it would be something that we would remember. Lord, it would be something we just hear tonight and pass off. Lord, it would be something that we would truly put the mind as Christians. I pray to bless tonight. Pray to give me power as I preach. Help me to say what I ought to say and not to say what needs not to be said. Pray to bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We find here that Jesus is talking with his disciples. Now, this is a very famous sermon. A lot of different people like to go back to this. Those that are, I was reading, just doing some studying, and there are a lot of people that are on the liberal side of Christianity like to go to this. Those that are on the far right like to go to this. Very good, happy medium. And let me just say, this is not written to those that are lost. This is written to those that are Christians. And the Bible says here, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So the Bible says that here, Jesus went up to a mountain. He went up there, his disciples came, and he sat down. And he said, I'm going to teach you something. And he starts to teach them here. And I've heard this before, and I wanted to make sure I was right. And it's always good to study before you preach. I was trying to tell the teens when you get up to give a devotion, you know, at least know a little bit what you're saying. Try not to do as best you can. Harrison, as you're young, there's some things you'll make a mistake on just because you're young, but as you get older, there's really not no reason to make mistakes, as silly as that is. And so I actually was studying, and I got some of this down, and I went to the other part passage, and I said, that doesn't compare. And I realized, okay, I'm in the wrong spot studying here. And it's good to study, but the Bible here talks about blessed, and blessed or blessings are all throughout the Bible. And I think often we think of blessings as something tangible. Like, I'm blessed, I got a car, I got a really good price on something, or someone gave me something, or someone brought me something to eat, or someone gave me. And I'm really thankful for blessings like that. I like to be blessed. I like when people give me things or bring things to me. But the blessed here we'll talk about in the passage we'll turn to really means happy. Happy in the sense of I'm happy in Christ, I'm happy in the Bible, here, blessed are the poor in spirit, or you can change that word into happy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can think about as happy. We were talking, or you guys were talking on Sunday morning and on Sunday night about donuts. And I'll tell you, I like donuts. I like all sorts of donuts. I'm not really a respecter of donuts. I like them all. But I do like Krispy Kreme. Now, the story, I had to think about it. Brother Hannah made that comment. It brought back a good memory of college. There's some bad memories in college. There's a good one. And we used to work at CarQuest. It was a distribution center. At that time, I think it was my sophomore, junior year, and we had about 10 guys or so that worked there. So we had 2-3 cars that would go. And we decided we're going to do something different. Let's go to Krispy Kreme. Now, that was on the other side of town. And obviously, it was always good because when you went there and the light was on, it was like heaven. That is a blessing. That is happiness to a big man. It's, oh, man, it's nice. They melt in your mouth. It's just wonderful. And Brother Hannah was talking about that. I felt like I needed to make a lap and go out the door and go to Krispy Kreme before they closed. But I remember we'd go there, and we had a deal where one guy would have to buy a dozen donuts, or at least a dozen donuts. So typically we'd have 3 or 4 of us go, and we'd just get a couple of donuts and get a thing to drink, and we'd just sit around talking about the day, talking about college, and having some Krispy Kreme donuts. I remember they got some good donuts. Then we'd get like a box of Hot and Ready's, and then we'd get some of the specialties. They were ones, all sorts of ones. You go there, they have different kinds. And that's happiness to me. That happiness only lasts so long. It really only lasts until after you drive out the driveway and you get on the road and like, bye. It only brings a little bit of satisfaction. Can I say, as a worldly person, they seek for happiness in a lot of different areas, but they only get either bring satisfaction for a little bit, or they don't bring true satisfaction or happiness at all. And as a Christian, I was thinking about this and really came across this truth and thought about this truth a couple months ago, and told Brother Dan today that he made a statement last week that brought back this, and I think that might be something the Lord have, and I felt the Lord leading to preach this. But are we happy as Christians? What does that really mean? A PBS study showed back in 2020, now that's not a great avenue of testing, obviously that's right during COVID, but showed only 14% of Americans were very happy with life. Well, that's not a very good percentage. I say a lot of those probably aren't trying to find happiness in the right areas. They said it didn't really bring happiness. I remember even as a kid, maybe you remember things you did, vacations, fun things. I remember for the first time we lived in Ohio, we were close to Cedar Point. I remember the first time going to Cedar Point, it was awesome, it was fun. I'm not great with heights, but it was enjoyable. I liked it, it was fun. I remember it was so enjoyable, I enjoyed it so much that when I came home, I went to sleep, and I had roller coasters going in my mind, in my dreams. It was crazy. It was a good time. That thrill only lasts a little bit. There's some other things I did that was fun, that was happy, but they only lasted a little bit. I say, as a Christian, we can truly be happy and be happy throughout our days, throughout our lives. Not as happened as the world has it, but as God has it in here. And the Bible talks about here, and we're not going to say much in here. We're going to turn some other passages. And I got 7 points tonight and 30 minutes. And we are going to get through them. We're not going to spend long on them, I promise, right? But we see here, and I'm going to use this as the introduction, but you see all through here, verse 3, really through verse 11, talks about blessed. If you look, all these mean happy. Happy are the poor. Happy are they that mourn. Happy are the weak. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. God, or Jesus here, is teaching his disciples, look, be happy. You should be happy. And what's interesting is it follows the, after verse 11 and 12, it goes to verse 13, it says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's almost as if he said, hey, look, there's some things you got to be happy about in life. You should be able to overcome as a Christian. Because you are light. Because you are salt. Because someone sees your light. They're looking at you. At least they hopefully ought to be looking at you as a Christian. Ought to be, I said, someone used this today in the devotion. So I said, hey, it's going to come out a little bit tonight as part of my message. But it's really not that good if you're not salt and light as a Christian. I like salt. You can ask my wife. I like salt on my potatoes and on my meat and all those things. I grew up that way. My dad liked that. That's what I inherited. I like that. But I say, if you're as a Christian, you're camouflaged, no one can really tell if you're that way. The Bible says you might as well throw your salt down. It ain't no good just to be stepped on. Then it says, if you're to be light in this world, who lights a candle and instead of putting it out here, if all the lights were out, who would put it underneath the pulpit and leave it under there? That's foolishness. And then it makes no sense. I heard a story of a man, I wasn't really going to tell this, but it fits. He's a Muslim and got saved. He was over in the Middle East and they found out that he was a Christian, and they captured him and put him in jail, and they beat him, and they tried to, while he was there in prison, he witnessed for Christ and told others about him. They took him to another place, they threw him in that prison, and they beat him up there and said, hey, this guy's a Christian. They beat him up almost to the point of basically death. And they finally got him out. They thought he would die, but in about 2 weeks, they said, all right, let's just get out of here. They confiscated his business, all those things, and just, they disowned him as a Christian. And they said that he ended up moving to another place. He was giving testimony about this, and a man, the pastor was asking me, he's from the States here, and said, you know, what is it like about witnessing when you know that it's not really allowed? It's not even that deal. He's like, we have people here in the world, in America, that have that freedom that won't. He made this statement. Are they Christians? I mean, are they saved? I mean, why would you be a Christian and not tell other people? I mean, why would you be a Christian and not let your light shine before others? Like our brother Nicholas preached Sunday morning about the lady, I was already ahead of him, and that the fact that after she got God, I mean, she got truly saved, she wouldn't hold other people. And had other people come to Christ. A world, a city turned upside down. Why? Because she got Christ. She couldn't keep it to herself. Says, God, if he's so good, I need to tell someone else about him. God says, here, we are to be salt and light. And I tell you, it's hard to be salt, and it's hard to be light when we're never happy. It ought not be said that we are the ones that walk around as if we're chewing on sour warheads, or we just got the worst news possible, and we can't ever smile, we can't ever be happy. And let's say, we can't find true happiness in this world. If you're a Christian, you're trying, you're searching, it's never going to be there. I say, as a Christian, we are to be different. Our life should be different. Our viewpoint should be different. Our opinion should be different. And can I say, as a young person, this is something I have to learn as a 26-year-old, that my perspective is not about the world, it's about Christ. It's what the Bible has to say. What does the Bible talk about? What does it actually mean? If I want to be the true Christian I ought to be, I got to get it from God's Word. And so, let me ask you this. Would a lost person want what you have if they were to go by and see how you look day after day? Would they really say, hey, tell me about your God? Are they seeing you're happy, or are you the one that always walks around depressed, sad, as if your dog just got ran over, or you just got the worst news possible, or had to work overtime, or life's just terrible? I say, as a Christian, life doesn't have to be terrible. And I'll go through this. We'll start turning here in a sec, but you often hear it said, oh, I have Jesus or I have God, and that's all I need. I say, through hopefully this, we'll see that's all we do need to be happy. We don't need cars. We don't need money. We don't need things. We don't need fame and fortune. We need God. I think the true Christian that has God will be happy. At least have the byproduct of being happy. Let's turn or use our Bibles tonight. Go to Psalms 32. Psalms chapter 32. Be in Psalms a couple different times, so if you want to keep your finger there as well. Psalms 32, 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Romans 4, 7, 8 says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm thankful that God saves those sinners, and when he sees me, he doesn't see me as Dustin Hewitt, the dirty, rotten scoundrel I am. He sees me as a son in Christ because his blood saved me. His blood cleanses me. I'm looked at him as a son in Christ. I think that when I stand before God, if I was to die today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'll stand before him, and when the judgment seat happens, I won't stand there and be judged for my sin. I'll be judged for my works. I'm thankful I won't be judged for my sin. Those that aren't saved will stand before God at the great white throne and be judged for their sin. And God will say, depart from me. Be thrown to hell. And I'm thankful that I know that my sins are forgiven. God says they're thrown in the deepest part of the ocean. If you can see as far as the east is from the west. Gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I can be happy tonight. I can be happy tomorrow. I can be happy through this week, although trials may come, although things may not be what I want or what I would hope for. I can be happy knowing that when I die, I'm going to stand before God perfect. When God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. And that even on earth, when I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. I can go to him and say, God, forgive me. God, help me. God, cleanse me. I'm happy. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. When's the last time you actually praised God that your sins are forgiven? Blessed. Happy is he whose transgressions. That ought to be when we're singing. Miss Jennifer's walking out because she's not a happy Christian. I'm just kidding. She already said she had to go to work, so I thought I'd give her a rough time. But I say, when we sing songs, as we sing tonight about saved and about Jesus' blood, and that'll be the strongest we sing. Why? Because our sin is covered. God has settled it. He's paid it for us. Now, if you're not saved, there's probably a reason why you're not singing so outgoing. Now, the Bible says make a joyful noise. It doesn't mean you have to go up there and sing bass, sing soprano, or sing tenor. Just make a joyful noise. I like sometimes Brother Hannah will stand back here and he told me, look, sometimes I can't sing from my back, but I'll try to at least hum. I'll try to do something. Why? Because as a Christian, I shouldn't be able to hold it in. I should be outgoing and happy about, hey, God saved me, God forgiven my sins, and I'm happy. The world one day will not be happy. They may think all the things they've done is going to make them happy, and they're going to stand before God one day to be judged and be thrown in the lake of fire forever. That's not happy. We don't have to go there. The happy is a man whose sins are forgiven. Number two, just turn over back some, Psalm chapter number two. Happy is a man who trusteth in God. Psalms 2:12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the ways when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. We can live a happy and blessed life when we know that our trust is in God. We put all we have and just put it on Christ. When was the last time you tried to do something? And my mom was very big on this, and my mom's a spiritual lady, and she said, did you pray before you did this? And you probably should have prayed before you tried to fix that or tried to do that. I'm like, hey, mom, you're all afraid. Maybe that's why it's not working, okay? But you ever try to do something in your own power? And you try to teach a lesson? You try to sing a song? You try to do something like, yeah, I just really don't feel like that was, well, where's your trust? Is it in you? Or is it in God? We put all our trust in everything else. We put it in funds. We put it in our jobs. We put it in, you can't put it in government anymore. You shouldn't put it in government. We put it in people. We put it in this and in that. And that all falls apart. Where our trust should really be, it should be in God. Happy is the Christian whose trust is in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean unto thy own understanding. That's the verse we can quote, we can memorize, but often we don't even put it in the heart. We say, I got this, God. I can do this. But then I end up not so happy. I'll tell you the happy times in my life as I minister is when I know that it's not of me. And someone says, man, that was a good sermon, or someone got saved. It wasn't me. I was trusting God. I hope this is a good message. I hope it's a good, but it ain't in me. It's in God. My trust is in God. Where is your trust tonight? Is it in God? Or is it another thing? Maybe the reason we're not so happy as Christians, our hope and our trust in everything else except God. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. See, I told you we're only on point 3. We're rolling fast. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Psalm 119:2 says this, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, all ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Happy is the Christian who seeks after God and tries to follow him. Now we're not going to follow him perfect. We're sinners. I understand. But Dustin, you got to understand, I'm flesh. Yes, I get that. I am too. Don't hold it against me. I think sometimes we hold preachers to a different standard. We hold other people to a different standard. And really, it's not. We're all human. We're all flesh. But in my flesh is also something that's warring against it is my spirit. And am I actively engaging into my spirit? You know, we don't have to wait. As I said, we should be happy in the fact that every moment of every day we can meet with God. We can talk to God. We can fellowship with God. In fact, you can do that without even persecution. We heard just a couple weeks ago about the missionary to China and had a good conversation with him. And you know, there's other places in the world, I'm glad he was able to say that they can't just read the Bible. They can't just carry a Bible. They can't just quote a Bible. Scary enough, probably can't even have a Bible on their phone to keep an app. Why? Because they don't have that freedom. We have the freedom to read and have all sorts of devices at our hand. I have my iPad. I'll occasionally have a Bible app on there. Sometimes I'll have it read to me as I'm going to work or as I'm getting ready for the morning. We have so many avenues to seek God, and yet we're not seeking God. I don't know the statistic. I'll give you guys one of them later, but the amount of people actually read their Bible, I think something was like 9% of Americans even read their Bible. That's pretty sad. And we're supposed to be seeking after him. God, what do you want for my life? God, how am I supposed to live my life? How am I supposed to be a happy Christian? How am I supposed to grow? And God gives it all to us in his word. The Bible says, blessed are they that follow my commands and that seek after me. And we don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday to find out about God. I'd wait till Sunday or Wednesday. We can do it on Monday and on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday. Wednesday. Can I say so often? It's a trend that goes around. I heard about a stupid trend this week. I guess somebody think. Now, back when I was in high school and college, it was a trend to use iPods. Now, that's just stupid, okay? There's a trend going around that does that. I guess there's a trend now that some people take NyQuil and they put chicken around it and they cook it. And can I say those are trends that become very popular? You got to watch those videos. You say it's funny. You say, ugh. Go watch those videos, and I'll try, they don't just have a couple likes. They have millions of views and likes. It's trendy. It's popular. Man, all the kids are doing it. You say, my kid wouldn't do that. See if they're watching it. They may not do it, but they're probably watching it. Be careful. They're watching it. They may try it in your house. We did try one time. We did in college. Not a greatest moment because it stunk so bad, but we actually burnt a Tide Pod on a skillet and just seen what would happen. It smelled really bad. So be careful what you're watching, teenagers, because it doesn't always turn out good. However, can I say those are trends? And can I say even in some of these trends, maybe not even those weird ones, but just funny ones, there's people that are 30 and 40 and 50 and sometimes even 60 years old doing these trends. Doing these things. You're 40 years old. You're a grandparent. You're doing this. Don't you know this is what kids are doing, what teens are doing? Can I say, shouldn't it be a trend in the world or in our churches or in our home that we seek after God? When will that be the trend that it's not just a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing, but it's an everyday thing. So we teach our kids, hey, it's good to read the Bible. It's good to seek after God. Why? He's happy. You'll be happy when you search after God. You'll be happy when you know, hey, I responded right today. Hey, God said to do this, and I did it. That's true happiness. So often we try to find happiness in other things. Let's get back to the trend of loving God and deciding, I'm going to follow Him. I had to decide to follow Jesus tonight. I'm going to dedicate. I may not be perfect. I may fail. That's fine. Adjust me and fall seven times and get it up again. I'm going to be happy. Why? Because I'm seeking God. May that be the appetite or the diet of a Christian that they are actively searching God. You know this one. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Bible says in Psalm 128, verse 1, says, blessed is every man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Bible here is saying, happy is a man that doesn't get involved in all that sin, all that evil, all that wickedness. Point here, number 4, is happy is a man who is not in sin or the state of sin. Bible says here, blessed, happy is the man. I mean, he doesn't even walk by it. He doesn't even entertain it. In fact, he doesn't even sit there and watch and indulge in it. Happy is that man that's not involved with that kind of sin. Say, sin will bring pleasure for a season, the Bible says. After season, there's harvest. And you will reap what you sow. When you sow sin, you're going to reap corruption, destruction. The Bible says here, blessed, happy is a man. I mean, he doesn't even want to be around sin. Let's say it's odd to me, it's odd to be said that a Christian would be in love with this world or love with worldly things. I know we all struggle. We all struggle with sin from time to time. But it's a wonder to me as just a Christian, then not just from a Christian, but as a staff member, and then from a staff member as a youth pastor, that there are Christians that are proclaimed child of God that they don't just struggle with sin. They enjoy sin. Then they promote sin. They don't just do it and it used to be, oh, I do it, and if someone finds out, oh, man, now it's, I'm going to do it. I'm going to post about it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show it out. I do not care. What a sad state. How is it that a Christian can live that way? How is a Christian can enjoy and love sin? I understand they can fall. How is that? We'll go to verse number 2. This goes back to the last point, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. I say, if your appetite is not God's word, not growing as a Christian, not learning from God, not being in church and being active, you're going to have a delight. You're going to have a status. You're going to have a taste for worldly things. A couple examples. Number one, I'm trying to do better drinking water. Now, I didn't really like water when I was younger. I got a little older, and I had my own kind of man cave deal, and I had a TV. I'd watch football. I'd watch basketball. I'd play video games. I always had a gigantic 32 cup of water, and then I would have some Skittles and some snacks. I'd just down the water. I'd drink one or two, and got the point where I was drinking that more even as I got older, and I think I've lost some weight because I'm drinking a lot of water. I'm pretty happy. Someone went to the scale and found I lost 10 pounds since the summer. I was like, man, I don't know if it's because that hot, I've been drinking that much water. But there was a time where I was drinking so much water that I went back and I tried soda, pop, actually. I say soda. I'm easily convinced the teens make fun of me for saying pop. But pop, soda, whatever you want to call it, Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew. But I got to the point where I didn't even care for that soda. My appetite was different. But slowly I started drinking that soda again, and I realized, man, I really like this Coke. I really like this Rooster. I got to get, man, I got that Polar Pop deal at the store. It's like $5.99. You can get a cup and get a cup every day for a month. Like, that sounds pretty good. I'm like, I don't need that, but it sounds really good. Why? Because my appetite has changed from going to water to pop, soda. I remember as a young person, I can't remember if I was a senior or a junior, I went to someone that I knew had a graduation party. They were Christian. They went to a Christian school. I guess they went to a good church. I don't know. The Christian school was a little bit different than ours. All right, walking in, a proclaimed Christian walking in and over their loudspeakers blaring worldly music. I mean, music of the day. And I'm like, how does that make, you're supposed to be Christian and celebrating, and you're celebrating like this, you're celebrating like that. They're saying my spirit didn't feel very good. This doesn't make a lot of sense. Why is this the case? Because their appetite's not right. Your appetite was right with the word and trying to grow spiritually. Some of those things wouldn't be even, you'd say, oh, what is that? That doesn't even taste good. That doesn't even sound right. But so often our appetite's not in the things of God. We're trying to find happiness in other places. We're trying to find happiness in sin. And spiritual things don't seem so good. Sunday night doesn't seem so good. Wednesday night, Bible studies just seem so boring. But I'll just watch it later. I won't even go. Or I don't need to read my Bible. I mean, you ain't got no pictures in here, or there's no videos in here. I mean, it's just boring. That's because our appetite's not right. Happy is a man who's not in that state of sin or in sin. Let's say another one. Number five. Got two more. Actually, only had six originally, but I forgot one. I realized I need to do that to listen to some music today, godly music. And number five. Happy is the nation when God is the center point. Go to Psalm 32 if you need it. You probably know this verse. Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Happy is a nation whose God is the Lord. There is a political speech, when I say political, this isn't a politician, they go around, they have different freedom rallies, and if you wanted to find out what avenue to watch this, I would gladly tell you where it is. I won't say it right now, but it's not bad, but I'll tell you later. But this guy goes around and he tells things about history. And man, he talks so well that it sounds like he was there. And he said, we know some different people, some famous people. Benjamin Franklin. Everybody know who that is? Right? They had the Constitutional Convention. They were getting around there. And he said that at that time, Benjamin Franklin would write his speeches, he would give it to other people, and they would read it and they would speak it. So this one time, he was just so emboldened. He was just so ready to go. He just had something inside of him and said he gave his own speech. This time he's in his 80s, I believe 70s or 80s, and he only said 14 sentences. But they said that in those 14 sentences, that there was 14 scripture references or quotations in that speech. Then it went on that Patrick Henry, the one that said, give me liberty or give me death, at this point, that's when he was just fed up. He was talking as well, he said. And his speech was also 14 sentences. And he quoted or mentioned or made reference to 11 different Bible verses. He said in those Bible verses, they weren't the ones that we think trust in the Lord with all that heart. They're the ones that you say, wow, what does that mean? Or what is that the different one to memorize? And he said back in the early times when we were just getting started as a nation, everybody read the Bible. Everybody knew what the Bible said. It didn't have to be said, hey, this is from the Bible. They just quoted and people knew what it was. As you would read, you have these speeches, you can go back and find them. As you would read them, they say, how many of those did you actually know that were memory verses or that were from the Bible? He said, now when they go overseas, they go to Europe, they have to say, hey, this is what the Bible, this is what I'm saying, this comes straight from the Bible. They say, oh. They didn't read the Bible. They didn't know what the Bible was. He said, sadly, now today in 2022, we have become like the states over there or the nations over there, like Europe, we don't even know the Bible. They had to make a claim, well, Bible. They say even as our founding fathers instituted it, said that we used to pray in time past about that God would meet with us, and now we've kind of went away from that. And we're going to establish now that we're going to pray every morning before we have these meetings. That's our founding fathers. Happy is a nation. I think the nation was a lot happier back 50 years, 70 years, 100 years. Why? Because their focal point was God. Can I say our nation is not going to come back to God with trying to find happiness in things of the world, but in God. Happy is a nation. Number 6, happy is a man who gives. Acts 20, verse 35. If you want to turn over there real quick, you've got two more spots. Acts 20, 35 says, I showed you all things, how those that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more happy to give than to receive. I say, I love to give gifts. I love to receive things. And someone says, hey, brother, listen, we're going to take you to Texas Day, Brazil. I'd be very happy. I'd be very appreciative. Someone say, hey, I got cookies for you there. I'd be very happy. But I also like to give. Now, this is not because I'm just a natural giver. Sometimes that is, but I was taught young just to give. I remember watching my parents. They would have literally arguments over other people. No, I'm going to pay the bill. No, I'll pay the bill. No, I'll pay the bill. I'll pay the bill. And I already created my own kind of establishment on that. But I saw that my parents love to do things for other people. They try their best to help and to be a giver. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, my dad also taught that verse because he also was a boxer. It says it's more blessed to give a punch than to receive a punch. And so it's a lot better to give than to receive. It's always interesting. You can find Bible principles in the Bible for everything. But it is blessed to give. And as Christians, we can find true happiness in just giving to others. So, listen, I don't have a lot to give. Well, you can give your money. You can give time. You can give energy. You can give materially, something you own that you can give to someone else. You can give a smile. You can give a helping hand. So often we think, well, I can't give because I don't have money to give. Okay, well, what else can you give? Can you give time? Can you give prayer? Can you give just a time of talk? Just to be with somebody, just to kind of have conversations with them. There's people in our church that can't make it either Wednesday night or can't make it out as much. And, you know, I may not be able to give a lot of finance, but I can go give some time to that person and make them happy. Go talk to them. As a young man, I learned what it was to be with some older people, some people that were up in age, and they didn't really care if I could sing on tune or I could preach a great sermon. They were just happy that I was there. You got to say, it's not about what we can get financial, although it is good to get financial, but what else can we give? Let's get our minds out of that box, and what else can I give to be a blessing? I was more blessed to give than receive. I like to give. I like to see people happy when they receive gifts. I like to find out later, hey, did you like that? Was it good? I like it. Now, I don't have the money to give like I want to, but I like to give. Teach your kids now to give. That has to be a lot to teach them how to be givers. It'd be a whole lot nice to have people that grow up to be givers. But I don't have a lot to give. Oh, guess what? You can give the gospel. You can give a smile. You can give encouragement. You can give a lot of things besides money. But I was here, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's where I stop. That's about enough, and it's about time to be done. And we still got a couple minutes before the next person come up here. But I thought, man, there's a lot more verse you can go through about blessing. About happy. Talked about a lot. The last one is that blessed hope. Titus 2:13 talks about the blessed hope that we're looking for, that one day God is coming back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to take us to heaven to be with him, and we are going to be done with this earth. This sin-cursed earth, one day, heaven is not just a dream. Heaven is not just a song we sing about. Heaven will be reality. Faith will be made sight, and one day we are looking for that blessed hope, that happy hope. Hey, Christian, you say, oh, I don't understand this world. I don't think what's going on. I don't like what's going on. Guess what? There's something to look forward to, heaven. Something to look forward to, that God may come back. He may come back tonight. I don't have everything that I wanted to get done, but if God comes back tonight, I'll be happy. I can be happy in days that feel a little down, but hey, guess what? It's going to be okay, because one day I'm not going to suffer like this. One day I'm not going to have this pain. One day I'm not going to have this temptation. One day I'm not going to have this trial. One day I'm going to be perfect. Why? Because God's coming back. He's going to take his people out. And I say we can be happy in the fact that, hey, God loves you enough to get you out of here. Not going to leave you. Now, you may not get to make the rapture, and I would like to see that. I don't really want to die. I've had a couple of things. I told you, I really want to die. If I get to be about 60, 70, my age, I start to be crapping my health. Just Lord needs to take me. I don't want to have this suffering for a long time. I don't want to die. I want to die in my sleep. I want to die peacefully. I don't want to experience death. But I want to go in the rapture. I said, it may come in their time. It may come in my time. I look forward to that. I think it might. I think it will. But also what I think, I know, I have a hope in Christ that he is coming back. That I'm coming back to get you. It may be in your time, it may be in my time, but I can have that blessed hope. I can be happy in the fact that Jesus is coming again. And if he doesn't, I'm going to heaven regardless. I say, as a Christian, we ought to live happy. I don't understand a Christian that can't go through a service, or can't go through a preaching time, or can't go through this life and never be happy. Maybe it's the fact that we're trying to find happiness in everything else, what the Bible says. I gave you seven. We're happy because of that blessed hope. Happy is a man who gives. Happy is a nation whose God is their Lord. Happy is a man who sins are forgiven. Happy is a man that trusts in God. Happy is a man that seeks God. Happy is a man who's not in a sinful state. Church, are we happy? Are we spiritually happy? That people can look at our lives and say, hey, there's something different about that Christian. And they're not always happy. It's not always that we have to go. There's some people that's them. They're high tempo. That's great. It may not be you. But as a Christian, we ought to strive to be happy. We ought to strive to have that light and salt to help those in our neighborhood, those next door to us, those at our work, those in our family. Are you light? Are you salt? I don't know what you're like or what Christian life is, but I hope that you can come to the place where you say, I'm not happy in all this stuff in the world. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring true satisfaction. Older preacher said, you know why they put more than one cigarette or more one case of beer in there or whatever? It doesn't bring happiness. You've got to have another one. You've got to have another one. It's that, hey, I got to have, and it never brings satisfaction. But that we can be happy, truly happy, in God. If God's all I have, that's God's all I need. I don't even understand it. I don't fully understand it, but I do understand from this, I can find happiness in God. I can find satisfaction in God. Not in the worldly things that don't last, but I can find true happiness in the things of God and in His Word. Do you have an appetite for God's Word? Like studying God's Word? You need to know what God's Word says? Are you happy when you come? I was glad when they said to me, let me go into the house of the Lord. There's a lot of things we can find in God's Word and in church and the things to be happy about. It don't have to last just for a little bit, but we have promises in God's Word. We can be happy in Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've got a God that doesn't change. You've got a God that's always there. You got a word that's true, that's tested. There's no reason for us not to be happy. Let's be happy Christians. Let's pray. Well, thank you for the day. Well, thank you for your goodness to us. Well, thank you for your love and mercy. Well, thank you for this word that you've given to us. Well, thank you for the Lord's thought tonight. Lord, I pray you help us, Lord, as Christians to be happy. Lord, to find what it is to be truly happy in you. Lord, the spiritual things. And Lord, that well, maybe we have some changes in our lives. Lord, would help others. Lord, that would be a testament to those that are lost around us that there's something different about that Christian. What is it? Why are they always happy? Why are they always joyful? Why is nothing ever seemed to be bothersome? Well, we have you. We have the things of you, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for what it says.